Erevin, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis, 3-2. We just got finished saying that the food used for the Erev Tchumen must be edible. According to Chum, as long as somebody can eat it, that's fine. According to Sumchas, it has to be the person who is setting up the Erev Tchumen for himself. He has to be able to eat it. Whatever the case, here in our Mishnah, we're going to first talk about various types of foods that, for one reason or another, either you would think that they shouldn't be valid, they shouldn't be edible, but the Mishnah will say, nevertheless, they are valid for use as Eretz Chumen. And then we'll talk about other kinds of foods where you would think for some reason perhaps that they would be valid, but in fact they're not valid. And here we go. This list is very familiar to us. It comes up a number of times throughout Shas. We had an 18th parak of Shabbos, which we just finished. We'll have it in the next set, the second parak of Maseches Pesachim, etc. We had a number of times the same list, essentially. And here the Mishnah says, Ma'arvin b'damai. First of all, you could use damai for your Erev Tchumen. What's Demai? I'll remind you very briefly. We'll learn back in Maseches Demai that in the time of Vayesheni, they took a survey, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, and they discovered that while the majority of Amhe Aretz do take the tithes properly, a significant minority do not. And because of that, and the rabbi said, we may not rely on the simple principle of majority being okay. We have to take food that was taken, purchased from an Am Aretz or acquired from an Aretz, and do additional tithing on it. Specifically, we have to do the Trumas Meiser and redeem the Kedushas Meiser Sheni as applicable. Trumas Meiser, you recall, is the tenth that the Levi gets when he gets his tenth of Meiser Rishon. So that means that normally Demai is considered to be quote-unquote unkosher. You can't eat it. However, the rabbis were lenient in certain regards regarding who could eat demai. Most significantly, a person who is considered an ani, a poor person, could rely, does not need to be strict based on this din de rabbanan, and take additional tithes off demai. You can eat demai as is. And therefore, that being the case, the Mishnah here is saying that one can use demai as his Erev Tchumen. The reason why is because it's, according to the Chacham, it's edible by somebody. Any poor person could eat it, so it's fine. Kind of like we had the Truma being used by the Yisrael previously. Even Sumchas, however, will agree that a person could use Demai, even if he is not a poor person, just like we had over there in the previous Mishnah regarding the Nazir using wine. Here, the same principle of Hoil, let's call it, since if the person really wanted to eat this food, he could declare all his possessions. He could be mafka them, he could relinquish ownership over all his possessions, turning himself into an ani, and therefore he'd be able to eat the demai. So therefore, demai, you might think, is no good because it's quote-unquote not kosher, but it's okay for Erev Tchumen. Second of all, u'maiser rishon shin letrumaso. If you have maiser rishon, that's the first tithe, meaning the tenth that's given to the Levi after truma gedola, the first 2% is given to a kohen. Provided that nitla trumaso, its truma had been taken from it. So now, that sounds on face value to be, of course, not a problem. Why in the world would you even think that Maaser Rishon that had its truma taken from it would be a problem? The answer is because we're talking here about a strange case where the Levi went to the farmer and got his Maaser Rishon before the farmer took off the Trumas Maaser. That's perhaps disallowed under certain circumstances, and certainly we're sort of shortchanging the Kohen. However, the rule is that technically, if the Levi came and acquired his Meiser Rishon prior to the farmer finishing the processing of the food, Gemar Malacha, then the strict obligation to separate Truma Gedola for the Kohen hasn't kicked in yet. And therefore, if the Levi jumps to the front of the line and gets there before the Kohen does, in fact, the food he acquires will simply be exempt from Truma Gedola. So this is talking about food here that never had Truma Gedolin taken from it. So the Mishnah says, provided that the Trumas Meiser, which is the 10% that the Levi must give once he gets a 10%, his Meiser Rishon, he has to separate the Trumas Meiser. And as long as he did that, even though Truma Gedolin was never taken from it, it's still acceptable to be used as food for Erev Tchumen. Next on the list is Umaser Sheni Vehekdesh Sheniftu. So we're talking about two separate things here, Meiser Sheni, and also Hekdesh, that was redeemed, so let's do each one separately. Meiser Sheni, that was the second tithe. You'll recall that in the 7-year Shemitah cycle, there are two mini three-year cycles, the first 3 years and then the second 3 years, so years 1, 2, 3, and then 4, 5, 6, followed by the seventh year, which is Shemitah, and there are no tithes taken. So in the first two of the 3 years of each of the three-year mini cycles, meaning years 1 and 2, and again years 4 and 5, there's a second tithe taken after Maaser Rishon is given to the Kohen. Maaser Sheni is separated, and that food is taken to Yerushalayim to be consumed in Yerushalayim. Now, if you, for whatever reason, aren't going to be taking your food up to Yerushalayim to eat it over there, but Kedusha, what you can do is redeem the sanctity, Pidyon, we can redeem the sanctity from the Truma, the Maaser Sheni food, onto a coin, and bring the coins to Yerushalayim, and then spend the coins in Yerushalayim on foodstuffs. So, here we're talking about a case where a person redeemed the Kedusha off of the Maaser Sheni, and now we're saying that that food, once redeemed, can be used as an Eruv for Erev Truman, even outside of Yerushalayim. And you might ask yourself then, well, why, of course, would that be a problem if it's been properly redeemed? So then it's just chulin, it's regular food. And the answer is because when you redeem your Maaser Sheni food, you're supposed to be mosif a chomish. For every 4 units of value that you redeem, you're supposed to add a fifth to the value of the redemption. So for example, if you have, you're redeeming figs, and figs go for a shekel each. So for every 4 figs that you redeem, you're supposed to add a fifth shekel in the redemption value. So every 4 figs should be redeemed for 5 shekels. That's the proper thing to do. That's a separate mitzvah. But if you fail to be mosif the chomash, you fail to add that extra fifth, meaning you only put down 4 shekels, which is the value indeed of 4 figs, that will be sufficient, and that will effectively deconsecrate and tithe your Maaser Sheni, that it means it can be eaten outside of Yerushalayim. So the point of the Mishnah is, even though you didn't add the extra fifth to your redemption value, so you've failed to do that mitzvah, nevertheless, the food itself is effectively redeemed and then quote-unquote kosher, and that being the case, can be used for your Erev Truman. Same kind of thing goes for the Hekdesh. Hekdesh is when you consecrate private property to belong to the Beis HaMikdash. There are two basic categories of that. We're talking here about of Bedek HaBayis. That is, you have something which is not going to go on the Mizbeach, on the altar. Instead, you're basically giving it for the Beis HaMikdash to monetize, like to sell in the gift shop or whatever it is, to resell it, and then get the money to be used for upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. So, again, you have some figs. You want to give them to the Beis HaMikdash, so you're Maktish them. Now they're Beis HaMikdash property. So again, if it's a shekel of fig and you were maktish 4 figs, so therefore, if you're going to redeem those figs, then give the money to the Beis HaMikdash, so the proper thing to do is to redeem it for the value of 5. So in other words, if they're adding a chomesh, if you fail to do that and only put down 4 shekels in your redemption of the 4 figs, that will be effective. You've done something wrong by not adding the chomesh, but still, the figs are indeed redeemed. Same idea here. You've redeemed these figs, but not with the full amount. Still, you're yotzi and you're okay, and therefore the foods can be eaten, and you can use these figs for your erev truma. Next, we have. I lost my place here. The kohanim b'chala v'truma, and kohanim can use chala and truma. Now, the truth is, we saw previously that the Chacham hold that even a non-Kohen could use Chala and Truma. Chala, of course, being the separation from the dough for the Kohanim. Truma, we're talking here, Truma Gadola, or for that matter, Truma Smicer. Still, since a Kohen can eat it, it's okay to be used as your food for your Erev Truman. According to Sumchus, it would have to be Dafka Kohen. Anyways, the Mishnah is not taking sides with Sumchus. Here, the reason why it's saying Kohanim here is just because one of two reasons. First of all, it could simply be saying that it's who normally has Chala and Truma? The Kohen. So we're talking what was commonplace. Second possibility, they're not mutually exclusive, is that we're simply doing a cut and paste here. This list, these very words, is how it is listed in Psachim, the second parak. Over there we have the same list of quote-unquote, dubious kosher foods. And the point over there, we're talking about Kohanim, what kinds of flour they could use to make their matzah to be yotzi. And of course, when it comes to Kohanim, if they want to eat matzah and biyotzi, it'll have to be only Kohanim who could eat chala and truma. A non-Kohen certainly can't be yotzi by eating chala or truma matzah. So just since a cut and paste from the Mishnah over there, and therefore the Mishnah keeps those very same words. Now, the other side of the coin, here we're going to have different foods which you might think for some reason would be okay, but the answer is they're not okay even bidyevet. If you use these foods, they're not kosher, and they can't be eaten, and therefore they will not be okay for your Erev Tchumen. The first is avalo batevel. You can't use tevel. Now, of course, tevel means untied produce, tovlo, no good. And if that's the case, why in the world would you think you could possibly use untithed food? Because it's, you know, like the carriage with it, the Misa B'day Shemayim, death the hands of heaven. Very unkosher, can't eat that. So the answer is, even if you have something that's tevel, but it's only tevel midrabanan, like, for example, food that grew inside a flower pot, which didn't have any holes in it. So since technically midoraisa, there's no chiv of Trumas Maestras, because it grew in a flower pot on the ground, it's only a derabanan requirement. The Mishnah is saying here, too bad. If you use that quote-unquote unkosher midrabanan tevel produce, cannot, since no one's allowed to eat it, it's also midrabanan to eat, it can't be used for your Erev Tchumen. Same goes, velo b'maserishon shelo nitna trumaso. Same goes, you can't use maserishon that didn't have its truma taken from it. So obviously, if it didn't have its truma taken from it, meaning that you would think that means the trumas meiser, the 10% that the kohen receives from the levi's 10%, meiser rishon, and of course it's not kosher, and that would be no good. The point here of the Mishnah is, it's kind of going back to the same story we had before. The kohen cuts in front of the line, gets the produce before the levi cuts in front of the line, he gets the produce before the kohen can get his fair share, and then he takes it all as meiser rishon, tithe is just 10% to give to the Kohen, his Trumas Meiser. The problem is here, is that by the time the Levi got to the front of the line to get to the produce from the farmer had already done Gemar Malachi, finished processing the food, and therefore the strict obligation for taking Truma Gadol has already kicked in. So even if the Levi cuts in front of the line, he has to still separate both Truma Gadola as well, sorry, I should say, he has to separate both, not just Truma Gadola, but also, I guess I'll say this, he has to separate not just Trumas Meiser, which he always does and which he did, but even Truma Gedola, because Truma Gedola has to come out from the food once it has Gemar Malacha. That being the case, if you use Meiser Rishon that didn't have Truma Gedola taken from it, it's not kosher and therefore can't be used as your Erev Tchumen food. Same goes Velo B'Maaser Sheni V'Hekdesh Lo Niftu. If you have Meiser Sheni food or Hekdesh food that wasn't redeemed, no good. Again, you ask the question, of course not okay. Meiser Sheni has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Hektish belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. That's not kosher, so to speak. But the answer is, we're talking here about foods that you attempted to redeem, but just were not, they weren't effective, even bidyevet. So that would be, for example, if you tried to redeem the Kedusha off of the Meiser Sheni or the Hektish, onto a coin, let's say, but the coin is not a coin, it's a slug. Meaning it's not a minted coin, it's just like a silver ingot or just like a copper disc or something. If it's not stamped without a tsura on it, with like an impression on the coin, then it's not acceptable as a means of redemption, a source to receive the Kedusha from the Meiser Sheni. So that being the case, if you tried to, it's called an asimon in Hebrew, if you tried to redeem the Kedusha onto an asimon, ineffective, not kosher. Same goes for Hektish, we try to redeem the Hektish onto, let's say, not a coin, but onto, say, land. So land is not acceptable. You have to use a coin. If you try to use land to receive Kedushas, Meiser Sheni or Hektish, it just won't work. So therefore, even you try to redeem it, you did not redeem it, and therefore the Meiser Sheni and the Hektish is inedible, and therefore it can't be used as your food for your Erev Tchumen. Okay, period. New paragraph, so to speak, a new Mishnah. I mean, it's the same Mishnah, but we're going to a whole new topic here. And here it says, here we're going to talk about who you can use to deposit your food, your Meiser Sheni, Erev Tchumen, at the place you want to be, your Makom Shvisa. So basically, you have a picnic basket, and you send it with someone, and you tell that person, put the picnic basket in the place such and such, and that place such and such will be my home base, the locus of my Tchum, center of my Tchum, for Shabbos. Now, what's happening is the person you're appointing to put that picnic basket down is formally a shaliach who's establishing your home for you. So therefore, it has to be a person who is a legitimate shaliach, a legitimate agent. And certain persons are simply invalid as agents. And that being the case, it won't work. So first of all, we have the usual triumvirate of invalid agents, the Cheresh, Shota, and Katan. Here they are. Hashaleach Eruvo. If one sends his Erev Tchumen, the picnic basket, biyad, in the hand of a cheresh, deaf mute, shota, mentally incompetent, or a katan, a minor, then it will simply not work, eno erev. Why not? Because those three people haven't got das. They haven't, and that being the case, they're not valid agents. What does that mean? Let's take them apart one at a time quickly. The first is the cheresh. Cheresh, a deaf mute. That means someone who can't, not just can't hear, which is often the meaning of cheresh, but can't even speak. And the assumption is that a person who is a deaf mute has nothing going on upstairs. The question everyone always asks me is, what about people like Helen Keller or people today? So in the time of the Mishnah, for sure, someone who couldn't hear and couldn't speak was considered to be just like a mentally closed box, nothing inside there, and therefore no das. What the status today of Helen Keller would be, fascinating question, not for now. Second of all, the shota. Shota is someone who's mentally incompetent. So that means, the way I try to sum it up, is someone who does not understand the consequences of their actions. So that could mean someone who has, you know, some kind of psychosis, or someone who is just really, really, really mentally deficient. The Gemara gives examples. So it gives people, like for a person who, if you give them a shirt, they'll just tear the shirt, or you let them, they'll sleep in a graveyard, meaning they don't understand these are inappropriate or dangerous or foolish things to do. They just don't get it. So that's the shota. And the katan is a minor. So that means simply a boy who's not bar mitzvah, a girl who's not bas mitzvah. They haven't got das, and therefore they can't act as your legal agent to set up your makum shvisa. Also, invalid agents are o biyad mi she'eno moda ve'erov. If you send your erev to someone who doesn't agree, like who rejects this this notion, this rabbinic notion, I'll call it, of you can symbolically set up a different home base for Shabbos with your makom shvisa. If they don't buy it, they just reject that idea. So, for example, you'd have the kusim bias rishon. They started with, there were those converts who were brought in by the Assyrians. They weren't Jewish or anything. They were just ovdei avodah zarah. And then the lions started eating them. They got nervous, thought the local gods don't like them. They converted to being Jewish. They ended up being pretty zealous about keeping things that are written black and white in the Chumash, but not particularly concerned with their rabbinic authority and their rabbinic interpretations and rabbinic halacha, etc. So they just didn't buy the Erev thing. Same with Stukim. The Stukim, the bartender brings Stukim, rejected the Torah Shabbat Peh altogether. So those people reject the notion of an Erev being effective in any way, and that being the case, they're simply invalid to act as your agent. So in all those cases, that's your shaliach to set up your picnic basket for your Erev Tchumen, Eino Erev won't work. But Vim Amar Le'ech La'acher Le'kablo Memenu, if you appoint another person on the far side to accept the picnic basket and put it down to be the agent to effect your Malkum Shvisa, then Harei's Erev, it's going to work. Meaning the child, or the cheresh, or the whatever, the shota, or the tzuki, kusi, their job is to be a delivery boy, or delivery girl, and bring the picnic basket, but then your trusted agent, shaliach, will be on the far side to receive it and put it down for you. That's going to be okay, as long as you know for a fact that your agent, who is a competent legal agent, did receive the picnic basket. It doesn't matter you saw him put it down. As long as he received it, there's a general chazak, you can always assume that shliach osa shlichuso, that a shliach who has been charged and appointed to do something carries out what he was charged to do. So as long as you know that your shliach, who's legally acceptable as a shliach, got the food, the picnic basket for to set up your erev tchumen, then you have an erev tchumen, you can rely on that and use that as the center of your tchum on Shabbos.